After his movies Hard to Kill and Under Siege, Steven Seagal was such a powerful star that Warner Brothers actually let him direct his latest film. But then they balked. Seagal wanted to end the film with a 10-minute environmentalist lecture. Warners said no. Seagal insisted. What was the result? Film critic Stephen Schiff tells us in his review of On Deadly Ground.
First of all, the lecture's there, but it clocks in at under 4 minutes. I timed it. I didn't have that much else to do. Besides, it's not that lecture that gets you, it's the other lectures. On Deadly Ground is the kind of movie in which Steven Seagal interrupts a barroom brawl he's right in the middle of to ask his adversary, what does it take to change the essence of a man? To which the big lug he's fighting dolefully replies, I need time. I need time to change. I think it's a Zen thing. The movie's an environmentalist thriller set in a gorgeous Alaskan landscape, and Seagal plays a man called Forrest. Don't worry, the other characters aren't named Sea and Sky. Forrest fights oil fires for a living, but now he's working for a big polluting oil company called Aegis. It's spelled like Aegis, but hey, if you're Steven Seagal, who's going to tell you you need a dictionary? Now, Aegis is run by evil Michael Caine. He spends the movie wearing fake auburn hair and steely contact lenses and what look like bright artificial teeth, the better to chew up the scenery with. This is his doggiest performance in years. Caine is building the world's biggest oil well, called Aegis One, and he's using defective parts because he doesn't have time to wait for good ones. If he doesn't get Aegis One built fast enough, the property rights will revert to the Inuit tribe that inhabits the land. Once Seagal finds out about all this and lodges a protest, Caine tries to have him killed, but the Inuits find his wounded body and nurse him back to health. Then they put him through all sorts of rituals, invoking bird gods and animal spirits. Suddenly, the movie turns into dances with polar bears. Naturally, Seagal befriends the tribal chief and his beautiful daughter, played by Joan Chen. Here she is telling him he shouldn't be such a violent person.
Blowing up Aegis One is not the answer, Forrest. There are enough dead bodies.
Let's leave it to the authorities. I know the press. Let's contact the press. Have you two learned anything from my father?
What do you want me to learn, Masu? Huh? I mean, do you really think that this hocus-pocus spirit stuff is going to help us now? What do you think? Some angel is going to miraculously come down out of the sky and stop, say, 350 billion tons of oil from being spilled into our oceans every year? Maybe some ghost will stop all the cars from using gasoline. Maybe somehow some spirit will trip the big switch and all the technology that's been repressed for the last 70 years will suddenly be ours and it'll be a better place to live, a beautiful place.
I just want to interrupt here to say that Steven Seagal directs almost as powerfully as he acts. The movie's full of inept camera placement, cuts that come at the wrong times, strange distorting lenses, and some of the slowest fight scenes ever staged. There's also a considerable amount of hero worship. Half the dialogue is devoted to telling the audience how tough Seagal is. And when Caine employs an entire mercenary army to chase him, they keep shaking their heads and saying, man, he's good. But that's not what really matters.
What really matters is the cold, hard reality of this world, and that's what we got to deal with. I didn't want to resort to violence.
Still going.
I don't have a choice, and I'm not taking any chances.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.